You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, all right. All right, all right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are a superstar. Heavy, that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and I'm joined, as always, by my broadcast partner, Jamie. How are you, Jamie?
I'm excellent, David. Very good.
Great to be here with you today, and we have a lot to cover. We have a big TNA pay-per-view this weekend, Shimmer Tapes this weekend, and of course, we are another week closer to WrestleMania 28 down in Miami, Florida. What do you think? Should we get started?
Let's ring the bell, Dave. TNA Victory Road Preview. Gail Kim versus Madison Rayne. I've thought a lot about this match. It's actually maybe the most exciting match on the card to me. You know, I'm a big fan, as you know, of the knockouts in TNA. Gail Kim's the champion. Her and Madison Rayne have been, you know, very friendly. They've been knockouts, tag team champions. But as always, tag teams, all, you know, good things come to an end, and there's a lot of tension there. So it appears that best friends could be breaking up. You know, where do you think this could lead at Victory Road?
It's really like you and I breaking up, right? It's like we're doing our own radio show next week.
Well, you know it's going to happen at some point, right?
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point.
Then I'm going to take that bell and hit you over the head with it.
I'm going to throw you through a plate glass window like Marty Jannetty, that's for sure.
Well, whatever we do, it'll be a recreation of what's already been done, so.
Right. Well, you know, I think this should be a good match on the card. I'm looking forward to it. I think you got two women that can really go out there and put on a great show. Look, this is something that happens a lot, I think, in pro wrestling, right? You mentioned it. Tag team partners get some dissension, they break up, and then they feud with each other. But this is much better than the farting gimmick, for example, with Natalya. I mean, I think, you know, even though this is maybe not the freshest kind of storyline, I think you've got a couple girls here that can really put on a good show at the pay-per-view.
It goes back to in-ring talent. They're using their their knockouts and showcasing them in the ring. And this match has a lot of meaning. I would love to see WWE put more Divas matches on their pay-per-view cards. I think this could lead to a women's free-for-all with other knockouts getting involved, Velvet Sky, Mickie James, OBD, whoever it would be. Mm-hmm. It should be a very interesting match, and as you know, I'm a big fan of Madison Rayne. Again, I think it's the most exciting match on the card.
That's interesting. Well, the knockouts really have a great spot in TNA. I think yeah, I agree with you on this. I think that they used them well. And this is why Gail left, in my opinion, because she wasn't being utilized in the WWE. Here she is now getting utilized much more to her talent in TNA and in a nice spot here Sunday night.
Dave, you mean using her as Daniel Bryan's girlfriend for a while? She wasn't being used very well?
Well, I just made me jealous, so I'm glad they got rid of that storyline. But you know, in all seriousness, I was critical of Gail when she left and how she left WWE by eliminating herself from that Battle Royal. But I can see now why a performer can leave Vince behind and go to another promotion where they are really being better utilized.
Yeah, they certainly promoted her when she came on board in WWE, mm-hmm. and I remember the vignettes that they would put out. You're right, Dave, though. She never really even received a chance. I wish they would have turned her heel or something like that to give her, you know, something a little extra. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles and Mr. Anderson team up to face Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. Dave, this storyline is interesting in that, you know, Kazarian was tag team partners with AJ Styles at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, started partnering up with Christopher Daniels, and the storyline goes that Daniels is holding something over Kazarian. There's some big secret which is causing Kazarian's, you know, recent unexplained behavior. Where do you think TNA is going with this? And what could be that bad for Kazarian to essentially turn heel? Is it even that big of a storyline?
I mean, you've been holding something over my head for years. Why do you think we're still friends?
Oh, I didn't think we were going to make that public.
Well, you know, listen, most of the time when two guys get in a fight, they fight over a woman, right?
Right.
In pro wrestling, anyway. They fight over a woman and they fight over a championship. And I kind of like the mystery here. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it'll be revealed that there's something with a girlfriend or something like that, but I kind of like the mystery. I kind of like the fact that These four guys are working together. I like them on this program. And I mentioned last week, I think that TNA has to be a little bit like Moneyball. They got to think a little outside the box. They got to be a little fresh and creative with their storylines. They don't always do that, as we know. But I think, again, here, you got a lot of talent in AJ Styles. You know, Mr. Anderson, obviously, this is a good group of workers. And I think with a little bit of a mystery here and a little bit of a different kind of storyline, this can go over well with the crowd.
Do you feel like they're minimizing AJ Styles a little bit? I mean, Styles was you know, the heart and soul of TNA for a long time. And I know they've put a lot of stock in Mr. Anderson recently. Mm-hmm. But do you think putting Styles on a tag team card against Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, does it minimize him a bit?
Yeah, well, I think this is a really difficult thing about promoting in today's day and age when you have to put so much content out there on a weekly basis. I think that's really hard. And you have a guy, like you say, AJ Styles, that's been at the top of the card, but you can't stay there forever. And if he was there forever, fans would get a little bit tired of that. So by bringing him, you know, into this storyline, putting him in a different spot on the card, you help the other performers get the rub, so to speak, off of AJ. And I don't think it minimizes him necessarily, as long as the fans see he's still going out there and still really trying to contribute. Sometimes guys go down the card, and that's when they check out mentally.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if nothing else, I think if he can help Kazarian elevate himself, because Kazarian's got the look. I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
Just has that pro wrestler look, and maybe that's what they're trying to do a little bit, get him more involved.
And isn't this what we always complain about with John Cena and some of these guys in WWE, that, you know, he's always at the top of the show. He's always main eventing every pay-per-view. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Do you keep the same guys at the top, or do you come back and put some other people up there, give someone else a chance?
Yeah, real quick, I think that AJ Styles is the one TNA performer I would love to see in WWE.
Yeah, I agree.
The champion, Bobby Roode versus Sting. We already know it's Roode versus Storm at Lockdown, so thinking through what will TNA do in this main event match, and I really can't figure it out. I mentioned to you previously, I think that it's analogous to what they kind of did with John Cena and Kane, mm-hmm. where we knew that it was Cena versus Rock at WrestleMania, therefore the pay-per-view before WrestleMania, Cena had to beat Kane. I kind of feel like Roode has to beat Sting. But I also think there's a good chance that a Bully Ray gets involved, a James Storm gets involved. This may not have a clean ending.
Well, I'm not real crazy about announcing the match for the next pay-per-view either. But in reality, Sting at this point is just a storyline device. I mean, I think it's very important for TNA to have Roode go over in this feud and to move on, face James Storm. And you know, Sting can be, stay involved or whatever, but Sting does not need to be the centerpiece, if you will, of this feud. Again, I think you bring in someone like Sting to work with Roode so that Roode comes out looking better. And I think it's really, really important here to keep their champion looking strong.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened with Sting. I mean, I asked you to go to the TNA website, look at some of the pictures of Sting. He just looks like he's out of it. He looks like a rabid clown.
Yeah, well, you know, he's had a really tough go in the sense that he stayed basically in the same promotion his whole career, and so you got to keep staying fresh, and yet he can't deviate too far from what people know and love in that Sting character. Remember, of course, we know he went to the red and black for a while, and he's, you know, without the face paint. Now he's looking like a deranged clown.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, until he wrestles for WWE, there's always going to be something lacking in his career. I don't frankly understand why he's never made that switch.
You know, it's interesting. JR had a piece on JR's Barbecue where he talked about that and said, you know, will Sting ever be considered legendary if he doesn't join the WWE at some point?
Hmm. Well, I think it's a valid point. I mean, certainly JR, you know, speak on it better than we can, but to me, I just don't get it. I mean, I can understand, you know, someone like Ric Flair at the time. I remember you and I were growing up. I never thought Ric Flair would wrestle for WWF, and even he came over. Eventually, it seems like everybody moves through promotions, and it's actually good for their career. I think that's why Sting's become stale to me. I'll tell you, James, if he was on the WrestleMania 28 card against Undertaker or somebody, I'd be excited about it. In this case, this pay-per-view you're talking about at Victory Road, I think he's just a stepping stone, and I think he should just be a stepping stone.
Well, unfortunately, we won't have Sting against Undertaker at any WrestleMania because Undertaker will be fighting either Triple H or Shawn Michaels, but that's for another day.
World Wrestling Entertainment. We are less than 3 weeks away from WrestleMania 28, and the card is shaping up nicely. We know most of the big matches, but there's still room to add a few. Who do you think hasn't been booked yet that will find themselves involved with the show?
Well, at this point, I guess Randy Orton and Kane are not official. Alberto Del Rio is not official.
But a lot of these guys are probably going to end up being in that GM versus GM match. In fact, I thought I heard a rumor that Kane and Randy Orton may even be blended into that match instead of having a singles matchup. What do you think of that?
How do you minimize Orton like that? Unless it's injury-related, which it very well could be, but he can't wrestle a singles match and even put out 10 minutes of action? I mean, let's look at Orton's last couple of WrestleManias. I guess the Punk thing was good. In retrospect, it was good, but Punk wasn't what he is today at WrestleMania. His feud against DiBiase and Rhodes... Boy, I'll tell you, I just feel like Randy Orton has to go through a big change. You talked about a change with Sting. I think it's time for Orton to go back and be a heel. He was a great heel.
Great heel.
I just don't like him as a face anymore.
Yeah, people talk about that. And when he's been the main star on SmackDown, that show has really suffered for whatever reason. And frankly, I like Randy Orton. I think, yeah, he can bring a lot to the promotion, but I think... if you don't have him in the GM match, I mean, I think one-on-one with Kane's kind of a snoozer. In the sense that I don't know what it does for either guy. I respect both guys. I think both guys actually would be better in the GM versus GM match with some kind of angle where we need you because you're such big stars, you're so important to the show. I really think that would be better for them than an individual match.
Well, to move on from those two, is Christian going to be ready to fight? Is Alberto Del Rio going to be ready to fight? Rey Mysterio, any chance these guys end up somewhere on the card?
Well, again, I think they end up maybe in that GM matchup. And to your point, maybe because injuries limiting their ability. I don't know if you heard this, but apparently Wade Barrett was going to win Money in the Bank. Then he, of course, hurt his arm, and now they scrapped Money in the Bank. I thought that was interesting. They wanted him to go over and move on then, I think, to feud with CM Punk. It's a strange card because there just aren't a lot of matches, although I really like the ones that they've announced. In fact, I don't know if the people have heard, but apparently there's been a Divas match added to the show now. Beth and Eve are going to wrestle Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos, I think is how you say her name. And
speaking of good-looking women, by the way.
Well, there's no doubt that Maria's gorgeous, but Kelly, you know, I mean, it's a great-looking tag team, that's for sure. But, you know, again, it kind of marginalizes the Divas. Why did it just not use the girls on the roster and maybe a Beth versus Natty? It's a real disappointment for me.
It's what we've come to expect, though.
It has become very apparent that the WWE has relaxed their PG rules and regulations for the John Cena Rock promos. In general, the WWE has done a good job building this match, but do we really need all these references to Cena's lady parts? Jamie, I am looking forward to the match. There's no doubt. I am excited about The Rock versus John Cena. I don't regret the fact that we bought tickets a year ago. You know, I've made all these plans to go. I think it'll be a great main event. But I am really tired of his promos. In fact, I thought that they gave us way too many promos over the past year. I would have kept them off TV except for occasional appearances, occasional short promos. I feel like he just goes out for 10 minutes. And it's ironic to me that he says he's always innovative and The Rock's fans and team bring it are always innovative. I feel like every promo is the same. Every promo was talking about Cena's lady parts and calling him a serial of some kind. How have you felt he's been handled here the past year?
Well, it's been interesting, Dave. I mean, this is what The Rock did years ago when he was on top of the WWE. Mm-hmm. He came out and would give these same promos. And while the fans like it, I think the fans are starting to pick up a little bit on Cena because with Cena, it is new. You know, Cena doesn't do this stuff. Cena doesn't come out and run his mouth and swear and so forth.
Well, not with his edge, right, yeah.
Yeah, and he has recently. And that showed a sign of Cena that we haven't seen in many years. I think it's actually helped Cena. But I agree with you. As far as The Rock goes, I don't get excited when he comes out anymore. I know what he's going to say. And it's just you're right, it's a little stale.
It's a little stale, and I don't even understand the insults, to be honest. I mean,
tongue out chicken?
I don't understand. What is he questioning Cena's toughness? I mean, people can say what they want about John Cena, and they may not like his five moves and his, you know, he's kind of got the Hulk Hogan routine down, right, where his matches have a little bit of the same flavor. But I would never question his toughness. He's been on the road with his company. Remember one year at WrestleMania, you and I were there at Access, and he said how he hadn't had a vacation in 8 years?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I respect, I mean, that guy has worked really, really hard to be the face of the WWE, to do a lot of work for Make-A-Wish Foundation. Whether you like him as an in-ring performer, I think you have to respect him for what he has meant to the company. And that's why I don't understand The Rock's comments here. I don't know what he's trying to convey. I mean, am I supposed to look at Cena and be like, yeah, he really is a pussy? Because I don't get it.
Yeah. If what you're reading is true, he's really rubbed people in the back the wrong way as well. And understandably so. There are guys in the back that bust their ass night in and night out and want to be on that main WrestleMania card and get pushed to the side because of The Rock. Now, I get it. And we talked about this last week. He's earned that to an extent. But he has to play his cards carefully here.
Yeah, but Jamie, you and I were not going to order tickets last summer for John Cena versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That said, the attendance for WrestleMania at this point looks like it's going to be down from last year's.
More leg room for us. The WWE has given Epico and Primo a nice run as tag team champions. Sometimes it seems like they are trying to reestablish the tag team division, but a lack of quality teams really does seem to be the big problem. I like the current champions, Jamie. I think it's been a nice situation for Rosa Mendez. I think she's done a decent job as their manager, and she fits with Epico and Primo. Is it Epico? Epico? How do you say this guy's name?
I call him Epico.
I call him Champ.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, but no, in all seriousness, I like the fact that they have, in some ways, reestablished the tag team division. I hate the new tag team belts. I don't know what you think of those.
Yeah, they're goofy. I mean, it's what are these, Roman gladiators?
Buffalo Nichols or something. I don't, you know, but I do like the fact that we have tag team champions. We see them defend the belts, and I do think that it's been nice for Rosa, and I think it's been nice for Epico and Primo. In fact, I worry that when they lose the belts, they may disappear to Superstars or one of these other online shows that I don't watch. Sure. But I don't understand why we don't have a more diverse group of teams that can challenge them.
Yeah, I mean, back 20, 25 years ago, Dave, you know the great tag teams that WWE had. They had 10 tag teams that you could roll out, and it was fantastic wrestling.
Yep.
For some reason, Vince does not like tag team wrestling, and I think it's an opportunity to really take some of the younger guys, start them out as tag teams, and then as they become good performers, then they go onto their singles career. We saw it with Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw it to an extent with the Mountie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's opportunity there. That said, in the ring, I think Epico and Primo do a very nice job. Mm-hmm. I think the Usos are fantastic, other than their goofy ring entrance.
It's longer than the show.
Yeah, and then Kofi Kingston, no matter who you partner him with, he's a crowd favorite. So they're better than they were a year and a half ago, but mm-hmm. they're still not where I'd like them to be.
Yeah, I think you're correct. And I think all you have to do is look at the Hart Dynasty. I thought that they had a good thing going. First of all, the Hart Dynasty made sense, the lineage and putting Natalya with them. And they looked, I thought, like they could be a good tag team for a long time. I don't know. I don't know what happened. They split the two of them up. Natalya then kind of got lost, I thought, and she's been swimming along since. But really, look what happened to Tyson Kidd and David Hart Smith. Nothing. And of course, David Smith's not even in the WWE anymore, and Tyson Kidd, I don't know, grew his hair out or something, but it's really a shame. Together, they really were a good tag team, looked good as champions, and I thought could have, in my opinion, been a better way to reestablish the tag team division. I love the lineage with the Hart Dynasty. To me, that should have worked.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I mean, I'd love to see more tag team wrestling, no doubt about it. I think if you look, you know, they had Legacy a couple years ago, the Hart Dynasty you mentioned. If they would have kept some of these teams together, you wonder where the division would be right now. Wild card. Last weekend, TNA toured in three small Kentucky towns, drawing putrid gatherings of just over 500 people per show. Is their model flawed? And I ask that question because they've toured around my neck of the woods. They come to the local fairgrounds, draw a crowd of, you know, 300 to 500 people. And it's not that they're putting on, you know, shows with their lower-end talent. They're getting the Jeff Hardys of the world. How can they survive with that? And if you just do simple math and take the amount of people per show multiplied by a reasonable ticket price – and compare that to what they're paying these performers, along with the ring setup and so forth, it just seems like an odd way to kind of do this.
Well, yeah, this is a real problem for TNA. They have a business model where they can't do it like WWE does it, right? They can't be on the road all the time. So they have this studio show in Orlando, and I think it just doesn't get them out enough. You know, there's a real excitement whenever the WWE comes to Washington, D.C., and I just don't think that that same excitement exists for TNA when they branch out onto the road. And I kind of feel bad for them. What are they supposed to do? So they minimize their costs. They have their studio show. And then they go on. But let me say this. I think it's important for them to at least keep running live shows for this reason, Jamie, because even though those are disappointing turnouts, live shows do allow them to try out new matches, new combinations of moves, and to kind of sort out and working with each other and see what they want to do, so then when they get to a TV taping, they feel better prepared for the for that crowd.
And I understand the need to move in that direction as far as going beyond or beyond Orlando and so forth, but I think their model right now, it's just not working well. Mm. Now, it'll be interesting, the lockdown pay-per-view, I believe it's in Nashville. If I'm wrong with that, it's somewhere in Tennessee. Okay. It'll be interesting to see how that draws. And if it draws well, does that give them a model to work from in the future for pay-per-views where maybe they can draw, you know, 5,000, 8,000, something like that, and build upon it?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things people don't really talk about is SmackDown doesn't draw that well.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you look at the attendance figures for SmackDown, they're not getting 18,000, 20,000 people for that show.
And it's interesting, Dave, you can always tell because look at how the lights shine on the arena when the show goes on. If that upper deck is dark, it means it's not full. Mm-hmm. Now, this week in Cleveland on Raw, the upper deck was lit up because it was a sold-out show, and they wanted to showcase that. So you're right, Dave. Attendance is down, and it's something that this industry really needs to figure out.
Wild card topic number two. Recently, former WWE diva Maria Kanellis won the FWE Women's Championship, her first title of any kind. Though Maria had never won a title in a major promotion, this was a nice moment for her fans, and for her. But really, how important are championships? I bring this up, Jamie, because when I was growing up, I never understood the way belts were used in a promotion. I never understood why Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or Jake the Snake Roberts, or Rowdy Roddy Piper in the 80s, you know, never had a run with the belt. I didn't understand. They weren't a lot of times even put in championship matches. What I didn't understand was the belt is a prop, just like the snake is a prop, just like Hacksaw's 2x4 was a prop. Some people need the titles. Some people don't to get over. Honky Tonk Man was much better, correct, as the Intercontinental Champion than he was when he was just running around in rhythm and blues.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Dave, and you're actually the one that pointed this out to me. I used to get all emotional about people not having belts and stuff
right.
like that, and then you explain, Jamie, it's a prop. Getting back to Maria, you know, I thought Maria did an admirable job in WWE. I was mm-hmm. shocked by her departure. If you recall at the time, she was managing, for lack of a better term, and she was also trying to get some in-ring work and so forth. I think they just gave up on her from an in-ring performer standpoint. But she showed that she wants this to happen, and I'm proud of her. I'm happy for her.
I'm happy for her, too. And I think that if you are in pro wrestling, at some point in your career, you would like to carry a championship belt. If for no other reason, it shows that the company does have faith in you, because the belts are used to draw. I mean, they are prop, and they are used. You know, you're a lot of times near the top of the card, and you can put asses in seats. So, look, tip your hat to Maria. Good for her. And, you know, I don't want to be hypocritical and say championships don't mean anything. I'm certainly much happier when Beth Phoenix is the Divas champion than when she isn't. So, you know, people want to see their favorites to have championships. And so, you know, I'm sure Maria's fans are very happy about this.
Yeah, and holding a belt in FWE is different from holding a belt in WWE, right? I would think from a prop standpoint, though. I think FWE probably uses it much less as a prop than the WWE does.
Mm-hmm. Sure, good point.
But no, Maria, absolutely beautiful. I thought she was a great in-ring performer.
Great theme song.
Great theme song. One of the best Diva theme songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, we should all be proud of her.
Do you ever Playboy?
No, I don't, but I've seen yours.
Yeah. Go on eBay. Get it.
Blast from the past. Winding back the clock to May 11th, 1985, the very first episode of Saturday Night's Main Event aired on NBC. The card featured Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton, Wendy Richter versus the Fabulous Moolah, and the U.S. Express and Ricky Steamboat versus the Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, and George the Animal Steele. Dave, Saturday night's main event, we loved it. It had a big impact on our wrestling lives and what wrestling meant to us. What are your most fond memories of Saturday night's main event through the years?
Well, we really need almost a separate podcast on this because basically Saturday Night Main Event is my favorite wrestling show of all time. It's why I love this crazy sport. And you and I got a lot of great memories. We were fortunate. We grew up near the Hershey Park Arena where the WWE ran monthly shows, and they came several times, three, I believe, for tapings of Saturday Night's Main Event. It was tremendous. I think what people forget is that it was an extremely important storytelling device at the time. We did not have monthly pay-per-views. We did not have these Monday Night Raws where you had pay-per-view quality matches each week. You had Saturday Night's Main Event, and that's about it outside of the main big four pay-per-views, right?
Yeah, you're right, Dave. I mean, sometimes they set up months in advance what would happen in WrestleMania.
And you know, the other thing, too, is we were kids. Staying up till 11:30 on a Saturday night, that was cool.
Yeah, but NBC loved it. NBC loved it because they made money on it.
They did. You know, and you and I, listen, you and I are always going to be a little skewed on this because we were fortunate. I would say universally regarded as the most important match ever on Saturday Night's Main Event is when the Madness met the Mania, and that was at Hershey, and it was just a great moment for us, great moment for the WWF at the time.
Absolutely.
Well, Jamie, that's the show for this week.
Actually, Dave, I've got to get something off my chest. You know, 25 years ago, and God, that makes me sound old, you know, I would be giddy on this first day of the NCAA tournament. Not only did I complete my brackets, I also created a tournament board in my house. Every game held excitement. I would stay home and watch each heart-pounding second of every game that was on TV for the tournament. Now it's 2012, and I feel completely different, as do a lot of others. It seems like our luster for college basketball is waning. Sport that filled seats at tournament time is now subject to a pod system with lackluster crowds in small market locations. Why did the NCAA do it? To make money. Top it off with the fact that college kids are now leaving for the NBA in record numbers. That is, if they decide to go to college at all. This has led to less talent across the board, thus allowing mid-major teams to be more competitive. See Butler, VCU, George Mason, etc. I miss my NCAA hoops. Can anything be done? Probably not. Will I stay up until midnight watching the first round games this year? Probably not. You know, all good things must come to an end. I'm just sad to see it happen to my NCAA hoops.
Well, you know, I was going to wrap the show, but now that you mention it, it's huge news that Sidney Crosby returns this week for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Ironically, you and I are both Penguins fans growing up in the Pennsylvania area. And all I hope for here is that Sidney Crosby is healthy. Just be healthy. I don't want Sidney to come back again like he did earlier this season, only to play for a few weeks, have concussion-like symptoms again, and then, who knows, be on the shelf for good. What a shame for a kid whose career was almost too perfect up to this point. I mean, for the, you know, for what was he, 23? At that point, he'd already had an MVP. He'd won a Stanley Cup. He scored the golden goal in the Olympics that won it for Canada, which was probably, the, you know, in that country, one of the greatest hockey moments of all time. I really, really love Sidney Crosby. Love the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if he comes back, they can really make a push to win the Stanley Cup. But please, Sidney, just be healthy. This makes me very nervous. It's almost going to break my heart more if he comes back and gets hurt than if he doesn't come back at all. Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM. That's OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. Next week, we'll look back at TNA's Victory Road, the final build towards WrestleMania, and much more. So until next time, I am David.
And I am Jamie.
And we hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. Well, that